Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's good, Houston? Joined today by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. Yeah, we just keep throwing different lineups at you, baby. It's okay. Just stick with us. Tune in. You never know what you're going to get. I am blessed to have my man Wade Smith with me today. Wade, what's going on, man?
Man, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, man. Yeah, good to be back on with you today. Looking forward to having a hell of a show, baby. Let's get it.
That's right, man. Let's ride. Hey, I don't know if you saw this, man, but Deshaun Watson, obviously, it's Pro Bowl week. I want to dig into that indeed, with you, too, indeed. By the way. I know you've I don't know anybody else running around this city on the airways that you can listen to that's got hands-on experience from were y'all in Hawaii or was it Florida by then?
We went across that water to Hawaii. Okay, so we got the full Pro Bowl experience back in the
day. I did mention 12-year vet, but actually he's Pro Bowler as well, former Houston Texan offensive lineman. So I do want to dig into some of your experiences over there, Wade. But to start with, man, the franchise, number four, Deshaun Watson, he's obviously one of the three quarterbacks that are in Florida right now, right? It's in
Orlando,
Florida.
Yeah,
right now, getting ready, prepping for the Pro Bowl. Wade, and couple things. I think one thing was interesting, which just always happens, is Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson were your three AFC champions, Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
Yeah,
obviously Pat Mahomes can't go, so they. Because he's in the Super Bowl, which I'm sure he's okay with that.
Yeah.
But they inserted Ryan Tannehill. 10-game sample, 7-3 as a starter. Took this team to the AFC Championship game and played well. Not necessarily the catalyst of that offense and that success that they've had in Houston, but a key part, man. What'd you think about Tannehill being plugged in right there as the AFC Pro Bowl quarterback number three?
I mean, he had a hell of a season, but when you think about it, it made you think to myself, like, damn, you're kind of short on talent at the quarterback position once you get past the top three in the AFC. You had a bunch of older guys, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, guys like that I'm sure put up decent numbers that you would think would make it to the Pro Bowl. But for Tannehill to get it, it was like, all right, you know, he had a hell of a year, but it was, like you said, it was 10 games. Most of those games he had after they actually voted for the Pro Bowl. So for him to make it, it was kind of surprising. But like I said, he had a hell of a season like you talked about. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward with the Tennessee Titans if they decide to buy all the way in with Ryan Tannehill. Because to me, he's not really a franchise quarterback, but he had a season that would make you think to yourself, we might have the guy.
Well, you got to think that him and Derrick Henry are tied at the hip. I mean, if you bring Henry back and you plan on this being a run-heavy attack with a back like that you can depend on, then you need your quarterback to just drive the ship, keep it between the lines, and be able to speed up and pass some guys every now and then. I don't need you to be reckless with the football. I need you to protect it. So I think those two are tied at the hip. But nonetheless, the most recent, and I don't know if this was known before, but they essentially announced – the players who were going to participate in the Pro Bowl Skills Showdown, which for me, I enjoy Pro Bowl week, Wade. I enjoy Pro Bowl week. I do. I think the game is fun. I like to see players go out there, and even if it's at the expense of a good quality football game, I like to see guys have fun. It's one of those, go have fun, take care of yourself, obviously, but have fun. And the fun starts tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time, our time, Thursday night, 8 o'clock on ESPN. The Pro Bowl Skills Showdown starts, and Deshaun Watson is in the quarterback challenge.
Okay.
He's in the quarterback challenge, Wade, and when I say quarterback challenge, he is in the quarterback events, I guess I should say. It's him and Lamar Jackson are the AFC quarterbacks. And then on the NFC side of things, it's Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Think about that matchup, right? Think about that matchup as you got all the money's going to be placed on Russell and Kirk Cousins in these passing in these passing oriented drills. And then you got this, because remember when Deshaun Watson came out, everybody, accuracy's a problem, arm strength's a problem. I totally disagree with
they
all that.
Wrong though,
but
yeah,
dead but, ass wrong, right? Yeah, yeah. But think about it, him and Lamar Jackson, who was doubted as much as any quarterback that's ever come on the scene and played well.
Yeah.
You got those two guys versus Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. And say what you want about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins can spin that thing.
He can spin it, but is he really that accurate of a passer?
Yeah, no is doubt. He? No doubt.
All right.
No
doubt. I don't watch him enough.
If you don't study quarterback, and you, it's not one of those things where you go, man, I'm really going to get behind Kirk Cousins because he's not real sexy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to spinning that rock, especially when you're talking about standing flat-footed, you know, on platform, no even risk of getting popped, my man's going to be able to spin that rock, brother.
I tell you what, though, as we're talking about this quarterback skills challenge, it reminds me of a couple years back. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year when Mitchell Trubisky was trying to throw the ball over that big, tall glass
wall. Glad you corrected me because I was thinking that was Josh Allen. That was Trubisky.
Yeah, it was Mitchell Trubisky, and he had such a hard time completing that pass. And I think his receiver was Mike Evans.
It was Mike Evans,
Evans, you know, he's 6'5", can jump out the gym, and he could not complete that pass.
Wait, I bet Mike Evans has a – I bet
like
you
40-inch vertical or some crazy that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a catch window, like his catch window. Like how high can he jump, his wingspan, how far can he – 6'5", and he could lay out. I bet his damn catch window, Wade, is – I bet it's – golly, I bet it's 15 feet. It's a 15-foot circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the diameter. And you can't find a way to get the ball over the glass of that cat.
Yeah, that's the thing about watching these things, though. I mean, it's fun to watch the guys to sling it around there, but also you can find yourself getting exposed when you get in one of these type of challenges. You're like, damn, you can't complete the ball to a target that's moving at 5 miles an hour going from left to right. Like,
yeah.
And that's the fun, interesting part about it as well.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is an opportunity, and of course, this is a competitor in me, which I think you know this. I mean, I think if you had to pinpoint one thing that all professional athletes have that's elite, it's a competitive nature, competitive gene.
Put your money up. That's when you get to the Pro Bowl and something like that, skills challenge, guys lifting weights, whatever they come up with, dodgeball.
Yeah.
You know, put your money up.
That's
you got a little side bets and stuff going on about what you can do. That's part of the fun. Part of being there at Pro Bowl week and being against the best. Everybody wants to prove that, you know, I'm the best at whatever going on. If we're going to play dominoes, if we're going to, you know, see if we can throw the ball into this window, in this skills challenge, whatever it may be, it's just all about competing.
Well, and I think this is an opportunity for Deshaun Watson, man. And Lamar Jackson. I'm saying Deshaun Watson because we're in Houston, but and Lamar Jackson. I really do. I think this is bigger than a skills challenge. For those two guys, if these two guys go out there, Wade, because you know how it is, man. There's no matter how good of a season you have, there's gonna be doubters. If you go out there with no pads on in an accuracy competition, and you drive the football and you open eyes and you impress guys with accuracy and arm strength and the ability, as you mentioned, to throw that ball over the glass and drop it on a receiver. That's the ability to layer the football, throw the ball with touch. This is a chance for those two guys who have been doubted about their ability to technically be a polished passer of the football. All seriousness, this is an opportunity for these guys to go out there and light this thing on fire. And on the back end of it, guys like Dan Orlovsky will be talking about, wow, I didn't know the guy could do that.
I tell you what, I feel what you're talking about, but like a guy like Lamar Jackson, I think people that talk negatively about his accuracy issues, a lot of those people are not fans of Lamar Jackson anyway. Because if you watch Lamar Jackson play, there's a lot of times you talk about him changing his arm platform
and
fitting balls into tight-ass windows. Like he did a bunch of that this year. So even if he goes out there and has a hell of a performance in the skills challenge, people are still going to say, yeah, but he can't throw the ball 30 times a game and you win.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, I think people that are – there is a group of people out there that just want to make sure they're right about Lamar Jackson.
No doubt.
And so because they want to be able to say, I told you so about him, he can't play that style of ball and win. So I don't think whatever he does in the skill challenge is going to matter. But I think what does matter is what their peers and how their peers view them. I think that's important as far as, hey, if us two can beat those two guys, more prototypical type of guys, Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins – we're letting you know the caliber of quarterbacks that we are. We do have our feet, but we also can sling it around, too.
Yeah. I just – when you talk about Clearly, the fans are going to do and say things, you know, positive and negative, whether you're a Baltimore fan or a quarterback fan or not. But I think guys like Romo, who call games, yeah. Aikman, who call games, Orlovsky, who talks the quarterback position as well as anybody, I think they watch this. And I don't think there's any negative to it, but I think they watch this. And if these guys light it up, they refer to it next season when they're making throws. And I just think that's a big step. You get those kind of – Kurt Warner. You get those kind of guys. Trent Dilfer. You get those kind of guys talk. Look what Trent Dilfer's done for Tua in Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Tua. Tua's a great player. But the minute that Trent Dilfer came out with his Elite 11 ties and said that he's a generational talent
– yeah.
The hype went through the roof, bro.
And you know what? That changes narratives, and it changes, and that molds the way people look and view you as a quarterback. So, like you're saying, if you get Dan Orlovsky or Tony Romo or any of these type of guys seeing that and saying, all right, we're going to use that going forward, then there's going to be casual fans that don't really have a dog in the fight that'll say to themselves, well, hell, Lamar Jackson can throw it all over the place. He has the legs, too. You know what I mean? So, yeah, from that perspective, for sure, I could definitely see that making a difference. Now, the question is, what happens if it goes the other way? What if they go out there and screw the pooch, ooh, and they can't hit the broad side of a barn?
It's gonna be a bunch of "I told you so" stuff.
A bunch of "I told you so."
You know how that goes, man. You're always gonna have those guys. That's Wade Smith, former Houston Texan offensive lineman. I'm gonna call him the Texan and the 12-year vet. Former Pro Bowl offensive lineman. It's Pro Bowl week. That's gonna be the tag I'm gonna lean heavy on. We got a big time show lined up for you today. We're gonna do some text line talking, baby. Some text line talking. So make sure you stay dialed in and you give us a text, give us a call, 713-572-4610, 713-572-4610. Again, I got my man Wade Smith with me. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. Next, coming up next, Eli Manning. He calls it quits. Is he a Hall of Famer? I think Wade and I may have a little, I may have to work some things out. I may have a little discussion here about whether he's a Hall of Famer or not. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good day, Houston. Good day. I'm joined by my man, Wade Smith. New York Giants quarterback. Golly, I didn't realize until I looked at it. 16 years, Wade. Eli looks like he's about 17 years old, man.
He's looked the same way since he was a sophomore at Ole Miss. He looks like the exact same guy. Hasn't aged a day.
Eli Manning calls it quits. Been New York Giants quarterback for 16 years. Got drafted in 2004. Obviously, just called it quits. 2008 and 2012 Super Bowl champ. Wade, you know, here's the deal, man. Is I don't think we can pick and choose when we think Super Bowl rings mean something or they don't. That for me, that's where I sit. The question is, Eli had a great career. He had a great career. And look, there's definitely some, there's some favor for Eli a lot because his last name. His brother, his father.
It carries weight.
It carries weight. There's no doubt about it. But the next question is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? And I think that It's a discussion. It's a great debate. I think in the end it could end up going either direction. But for me, man, I can't pick and choose when I think Super Bowls are important and when they're not. We can't discredit the fact that this dude won two Super Bowls. I've heard people say, well, their defense was great. Well, there's quite a few Super Bowl champions that had good defenses, right? But you're talking about a guy that also statistically holds some top 10 numbers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
he's got some big numbers.
He's got some big numbers, brother. And so this ain't Trent Dilfer. Right? I mentioned Trent Dilfer in the last segment about his Elite 11 stuff. He's a great quarterback developer. Great. He's a guy that I love him because he can watch a quarterback throw a football and he can say, well, you need to get your elbow needs to get more active in the break or you need to do. I love those kind of guys. He won a Super Bowl. He's not a Hall of Famer, man. Joe Flacco, he won a Super Bowl. He's not a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah.
Right? But when you start talking about two Super Bowls and statistically there's a resume there that statistically you're in the conversation with some of the greats, Wade, yeah. I think it's a lock, brother. I think Eli Manning is a lock.
So listen, ever since I've seen Eli Manning play the quarterback position, I've always thought he was a pretty good player. Like he's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I never once thought to myself, you know what, this dude is a Hall of Fame quarterback. And nothing has – I mean, he's had two great runs, two great playoff runs. The fact that his team and the plays he made against that Patriot team that was 18-0 going into that ball game had a chance to have the perfect season.
Yes.
That New England Patriots team was arguably one of the greatest teams of all time put together. It was a hell of a football team. And he was a huge reason why they won that game. But I never thought to myself, Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame quarterback. But you know what? He's an absolute lock to get in. And I was watching, I think it was ESPN earlier today or yesterday. It might have been NFL Network. I think it was NFL Network I was looking at. And there was some audio that I saw. And it was a video I saw. I was like, this is why he's an absolute lock to make it to the Hall of Fame. And so the audio was this. It's basically what it said was, because Eli Manning was the type of guy that after every loss, he would come into the locker room and talk with the media on Mondays, not on the days that they normally talk. Normally, quarterbacks talk on Sundays after the game, and then that's it. You don't hear from him again until Wednesday. But Eli Manning, after every single loss, he would come back into the locker room on Mondays, talk with the media, answer all of their questions. I'm sure from Eli's perspective, he was like, okay, now I've watched the film. Now I can talk intelligently about the things that went wrong, what we can fix, and how we can go forward. With the Hall of Fame being something that's voted on by media members, that is why he's going to be an absolute lock to make the Hall of Fame, even though I've never felt that Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame caliber player, a quarterback. He's never struck me as that. He's 117 and 117 as a starting quarterback. Good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks don't have 500 records. And I don't want to say good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, because to be a Hall of Famer, you have to be a great quarterback, in my opinion. Great quarterbacks don't have 500 records over their career. So to me, that's why he's not a Hall of Famer, but he definitely will be in the Hall of Fame because of that audio that I saw earlier today.
Yeah, Wade, you know, the only pushback that I have for that is that there's a lot of guys, and I heard you last night, I was listening to Smitty and Trap, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
The only pushback that I'll give you on that, and I'll use your example that you guys discussed last night, and I agree with you, by the way, but you mentioned Tony Romo.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Tony Romo's career record is, but I'm going to bet it's.
It's better than 117. 117 is much better than that.
Yes. But Wade, no Super Bowl numbers. No playoff stats, no Super Bowls. No, you know, so to me, it's one of those where, and I know it's two different cases, and each guy has is pleading their own case, and they could both not be Super Bowl contenders. Hall of Fame candidates here. But for me, I just have a hard time holding the 117 against him when he has them two at the end, man.
I get it. Think about this with Eli Manning. He went to four Pro Bowls. He played 16 years, and he went to four Pro Bowls. So you're telling me that he was not a top three quarterback, but four times in his conference over his career. Not in the league, in his conference. And that guy's a Hall of Famer. It doesn't compute to me. Only four times in his entire career was he considered the top three player at his position in his conference. And so I saw somebody list out his number somewhere, and it was like four-time Pro Bowl. I'm like, damn, only four? Like, how do you justify that he's a Hall of Famer? He only went to the Pro Bowl four times. And it's not like he was in the AFC as a quarterback. If he was an AFC quarterback, I might say, okay, you had to deal with Brady every year. You had to deal with Manning every year. You had to deal with Roethlisberger every year.
A lot of Super Bowl winners.
Philip Rivers, Super Bowl winners. Yep. And you had stat guys all in the AFC. So I can get it there. But he was in the NFC where Tony Romo, like I'm sure Tony Romo, I don't know how many Tony Romo went to, but it was probably around four or two. Four or five Pro Bowls as well, you know. You had Tony Romo, you had Drew Brees. And who were the big-time quarterbacks during his career? Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? Those guys took turns. But for him to make it to the Pro Bowl only four times, to me, if you're a Hall of Famer, that means that you are, in your generation of players, you're one of the best. And Eli Manning, he was either okay, pretty good, or damn good. But he was great.
Consistency's a problem.
He was great in those Super Bowl runs. He was great in those Super Bowl games. But that was the only time that I thought to myself, you know what, Eli Manning is a great quarterback.
8-4 in the playoffs with 2 Super Bowl rings. I don't see how they keep him out, Wade. I really don't. And I don't think they will.
You make some
great points, man.
And you got the audio for me, B Mac. Listen to this audio, and this is what's going to explain why I know for a fact that he's going to make it to the Hall of Fame.
Very early in the season, when he was still starting, I think it was after week 2, and they had lost. And, you know, quarterbacks in the NFL generally will speak to the media, win or lose, every Sunday, right after the game, or whether it's Thursday or Monday. But very few actually address the media again on Mondays, especially after a loss, which he made a point to do, as Kim Jones did. Had said and had seen so many times in, you know, covering Eli and the Giants in her career, that every Monday after a loss, he would show up in the locker room in hold court for reporters, which, you know, I think is it just kind of speaks to how seriously he took his obligation and his responsibilities as the starting quarterback and as the face of a franchise.
Look, I like that point. I like that point that you're making better than the others. You know what I mean? The 117, pretty strong. It's hard for me to think that a 500 quarterback's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about the way that he handled himself, particularly with the media over a 16-year career, you got to believe that that's going to impact his ability to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, most definitely. He checked all of the other boxes. And then in the biggest box, in the biggest games, he played his best. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that. But like I said, I've played against him multiple times in my career. Way back when I was at Memphis and he was at Ole Miss. He was a damn good quarterback at that point, but he never, once he got to the NFL, he struck me as a guy that's like this. He was arguably the best ever. He was never the best. He never had a season where he's like, yeah, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He never was that guy. So if you put that out there that way, to me, then you're not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I can't argue that way. Let's switch gears real quick, man. The Houston Sports Awards were a couple nights ago, man, and you obviously have been. This wasn't your first time to go, I don't believe. Or was it?
No, this is the third time I'm going.
Yeah, you've gone all three years.
Patty gets the invite, and I try to make sure I make it out there.
Well, what was your big takeaway, man? What would you enjoy the most?
Oh, man, there was a lot of things about it to enjoy. Just the craziest thing was Mary Lou Retton and her daughters. Like, her daughters looked like 3 spitting images of what she was like when I was watching her on TV win Olympic medals. And for her to be in the building and to see how much emotion that she had and how much love she had for the city of Houston while she was getting her awards, that was really cool to see. And then Rudy Tomjanovich, his speech that he gave was on the money. They tried to play the music to get him off the stage.
Yeah, he said, "Nah,
he's like,
up.
Nah, homie, I got something to say." Yeah. And what he said, it was on point. And so it wasn't one of those things when somebody's on the stage and you're like, "All right, man, wrap it up, B." Like, no, Rudy has something to say, and it was a good job there. And so, and then the McNairs being honored, I thought that was cool. And Whitney getting honored as well. So it was a good night. Got to catch up with a bunch of people. And anytime you can go to an event like that and it's well done, it's an awesome experience.
Wade, we finished up the show and I'm walking in to take my seat. And my girl tells me, you know, your truck got broken into outside.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
So I go out there, talk to the cop, chop it up, go back in, enjoy the hell out of the show. They got me for a little bit. They got a little something out of my rig, but I wasn't going to let them steal my joy, man. I went back in there, and I know you had told me how much fun it was and how great of an event it was. It's like, I ain't going to let this get me worked up. I'm going to ease back in there. And now that ride home was a little chilly.
Yeah.
It was windy. It was loud. It was a little chilly, but we made it. That's hard times, baby. We hard times and bubble gum, and I just chewed my damn last piece. I tell you what,
hard
man.
Times and bubble gum. Rockets, I like how you flipped that.
Rockets. The Rockets got a big time W last night, man. They've been struggling as of late, so they got a much needed W last night. We'll tell you a little bit about that, and also get into one of the greatest, most hyped college athletes that made his pro debut last night. We'll chop that up a little bit as well right here on Sports Radio 610 next. Joined by Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Would that be a former Pro Bowl, or is once you're a Pro Bowler, you're always a Pro Bowler?
Once you in, you in, that's baby. It. There's no such thing as former. You just, hey, that's something that's on the title that can be used.
What year was that?
It was after the 2012 season, but it was actually the 2013 Pro Bowl.
So the year 2013. Yeah. My point is, I'm joined today by my man Wade Smith, 2013 Pro Bowl offensive lineman. This is Pro Bowl week, And so, not that I don't always have a ton of respect for Wade, and I don't need him to be a Pro Bowler for me to have that respect. But this is a week when, damn it, I'm gonna recognize it more so than I do other times. Wade,
well, I appreciate it, man. There you have Chris Myers posted a picture on his Instagram today of Chris went to two Pro Bowls here with the Texans.
Okay.
He had two slides of the pictures, and the first picture was him when it was him, J. Joe, and Antonio Smith, and then the next year we had nine Pro Bowlers.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, we was there deep. That was after the 2012 Lord. Season, but that. It gets you thinking about, damn, we had a nice
squad
there, baby. We were
Ooh-wee.
Deep.
Oh, big head Wade walking around there. How much weight you lost since that day?
Oh, probably about 50 pounds, somewhere around there, 50, 60 pounds.
Gee.
Long, long time
My
ago.
My man's fighting Father Time like a beast, son. What, in Rockets, man, did you get a chance to check them out last night, Bob?
I did. You know, we were sitting here doing the Smitty and Trap shows. I could look up and
That's
watch
right.
the game as it's going on.
That's right.
Them boys was killing it from the three-point line, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
You look at the Rockets. The Rockets won last night 121-105 over Denver. You know, Denver's ahead of them in the West, obviously, sitting at 30-14. The Rockets are 27-16. Wade, when I look at this game, the reason I was really interested in this game, one, is that Denver is the team. And, look, I know teams have always thrown double teams at James Harden and great players along the way. I'm not saying Denver's the first team that's ever thrown a double team at a player, but I remember watching Denver and Houston play earlier in the year.
Yeah,
and Denver confused it took Houston and James Harden by surprise, and they had no answer. And Denver beat them soundly that night in Denver, and it was one of those deals where so last night, one, I had a great seat, phenomenal seat.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get into that.
Yeah, we will. My man Wallace Marsh. My man Wallace Marsh, you're a good man, son. You're a good man. Sean Pendergast, I got a nice little gift for Sean's birthday.
Yeah.
Instead of me giving a gift, I received it.
You received it just because, you know, by osmosis.
That's right.
That's your guy, so you end up getting some great seats for his birthday.
Yeah, yeah. So wait, I got a couple of takeaways, man. First of all, I got to have anybody out there. We're going to do some text line talking today. 713-572-4610. If you can think of an athlete that is a better athlete, that's more explosive, that's got quicker twitch, that's built better than Russell Westbrook, I'll kiss your ass in town square at a city meeting.
Man, hold on now. Let's make sure this is not literal.
Go.
Because somebody's going to find somebody. Now we're going to have the digital department. Yeah. You're going to have – Brandon's going to be having to take pictures of you inside at a town square.
In a city meeting.
Be in a city meeting. with you puckering up.
No, nothing's literal. This ain't literal.
Make sure, because text line going to blow up. I got one.
Hey, wait. Find me an athlete that's a better athlete. That's, again, more explosive, more twitch than Russell Westbrook. And I've always known that, but last night was the first time I've ever seen him up close and personal and seen him play. And, brother, that sucker right there, I know you and I sat right here and had a talk about one of the reasons I think he struggles with a three-pointer with the longer jump shots is because he gets too much lift.
Yeah.
My dude's got – he's got a 36-inch vertical on his jump shot from three.
Hey, man, listen, he's been one of the most athletic guys in the league for the longest now. And the fact for him to still be doing it at such a high level, that was the difference between what you got out of Chris Paul and what you can get out of Russell Westbrook. And so when the trade was made, that was the first thing I thought to myself, like, all right, now you got a guy that's going to get to the hole, be able to finish, get fouled, get to the line. He's not going to be dealing with a lot of physical ailments like Chris Paul was dealing with while he was here. But then now all of a sudden Chris Paul goes – to Oklahoma City, and now he's a pillar of good health. He won't get hurt at all. But Russell Westbrook and his explosion that he brings to an offense, it's something that defenses have a tough time dealing with. You have a guy like him, and then you're going to backdoor that with James Harden that can penetrate but then pull back, step back, and hit a three in your eye. It's tough to figure out how to play the Rockets. So when they're on like they were on last night, they look like they're one of the best teams in the league. It's just – can you continue to have Russell Westbrook play at a high level? Can you continue to have the pieces around him hit their open threes? That's going to be the determining factor for the Rockets.
But look, Harden had a quiet 27 last night. I mean, really, he wasn't on the floor. I don't know how many minutes. He ended up playing 31 minutes. Every time I looked up, he wasn't on the floor. And it might be because they knew the opponent. One of the texters just mentioned we played a G League team last night. They got six players out. Obviously, they were banged up. I don't give a damn who you were playing, though. The Rockets needed some good things to happen for them sooner rather than later. They were in a serious funk, and Westbrook's athletic ability, I don't give a damn who they're on the floor with. That was nasty, man. The other thing, Wade, is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon last night hit
6 of 8
from the 3-point line. And this is a Sean Pendergast take from golly last year. It's just legit. It just holds water. When Eric Gordon's healthy and he's knocking down threes, this team is dangerous.
Yeah.
He is the straw that stirs the drink right now. I mean, when he's knocking them down, the game never gets close.
He's Will Fuller. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's the Will Fuller of the Houston Rockets. If he's out there, that he takes them to a completely different level as an offense. He spaces the floor out. He gives guys driving lanes, and he's the type of guy that when they dish to him, he's putting balls down.
Sure.
It's tough to defend. And so, keeping him healthy and him staying healthy is key to the success for the Rockets. I do think they need another move, though, for them to compete with the big boys over the long run.
Well, it's interesting. We had Kendrick Perkins on last night, yesterday, and he actually alluded to that. We're going to hear from him here in a minute. But before we get there, also with Harden on the floor, Harden off the floor, I'm sorry. The Russell Westbrook offense, I mean, the movement's great. The ball movement's great. The guys moving without the ball is phenomenal. It's mind-blowing that when Harden comes on the floor and gets the ball, I don't know that I've ever seen it go from one extreme to the other the way it does when Harden comes on the floor. So they're going to have to figure out, how to make that thing work, because it can't be two polar opposites, man.
Yeah, it's chopped and screwed, man. This is H-Town, but when Harden comes in, everything slows down.
Yeah,
it's purple drink, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when Russell's in there, it is high octane offense, and they're moving the ball around.
Harden's so DJ Screw
already. He represented the city to the fullest, but and he gets buckets. You know, last night he wasn't shooting as good as you've seen him shoot, but he's always going to be an offensive mismatch, but them figuring out a way to mold those two guys together and that chemistry you've been talking about for the longest now, the quicker that they get together and on the same page on a consistent basis, because they're going to have to win series.
Yeah.
They're going to have to win 4 out of 7 games against some good teams in the West. So it's of the utmost importance that those guys don't go through lulls and completely depend on the 3-point shot, because if they do, then you're going to have to worry about them having an early exit in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good W for a team that was struggling last night. I still ain't sure what in the hell they're going to do when you start talking about these monsters in the West. But they're obviously they needed something good to happen right there. Wade, there's one more thing, man. I went into last night's game excited to see it firsthand as well. And before I tell you exactly what that is, here this is Kendrick Perkins, Radio.com NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins, talking about Clint Capella yesterday on this show.
In my opinion, the only problem that I have with Clint is his tenacity. Like, if he had the same mindset of a Steven Adams of Oklahoma City, then I would love Clint to death. I just don't. I just see – at times, it's easy for guys to, punk him and kind of just impose their will on Clint. And I don't like that, because in the West, you're talking about in the West, when you have to face guys like Dwight Howard, like you just said, and JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis and Rudy Gobert and Steven Adams, and Jokic, you got to have that fire, man. Usually, your defensive center in today's game is a guy, not just on the offensive end, but he's a guy who's going to anchor your defense and be your back line and be your backbone on the defensive end.
That's NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins. And look, I've had questions about Clint Capella's fit with this team over the last couple of years. People always want to throw, but Clint, he's a 2020 guy. I look up last night, and I'm watching the game, and I'm critical, and I look up, my man's got 14 points and 12 rebounds.
Yeah.
And so there's no arguing that the dude's productive in his own way. But, Wade, I'm telling you, man, I'm watching him versus Jokic last night, and he's one of them big sloppy dudes.
Yeah.
Jokic, I mean, he just slops around the floor. Him and Joel Embiid, they got – it's like they are as disinterested in running to the other end of the floor as I've – like a damn five-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, I got to go over there, Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, and they just kind of lumber down there. And the thing with Clint Capela to me is that when he catches the rock down low – now, if it's on a pick and roll or if it's in a fast break or if it's a rebound off the glass, it's beautiful. But when he catches it in the paint, somebody kicks it down to him, it's almost like he's nervous.
Yeah.
It's almost like it doesn't even – he doesn't even or think about getting to the rack. And I understand that his role in this offense is not to back to the basket, dream shake, folks. I get that. I understand his role. But what I see is an extreme, like, let me get this thing out of my hand as quickly as I possibly can.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to get as a reputation as a player in any professional league from your peers is that they consider you soft. And that's what I'm hearing from Kendrick Perkins when I'm hearing the audio. He's basically saying that, you know, for you to be a big and a post player, you can't. He comes off as soft. And so he's got to do something to fix that. And I think a lot of that has to do with his temperament. It has to do with his mentality and how he approaches each and every game. That, you know, you don't have to be – you can be bigger than me, but that doesn't mean that you're going to take advantage of me and move me wherever you want to move me.
Yeah.
This is the thing about being a professional. A lot of times you play sports where it's your job to make another grown man go and do what he doesn't want to do. It takes a certain type of temperament to do that. And if you don't have that, it's very hard to grow that. It's very hard to build that. And so – It makes you wonder how much are you actually going to get out of Clint Capela? Like, how much improvement from that aspect are you going to get? And if you're afraid, or I don't want to use afraid, but if you are nervous when you get the ball in your hands and you don't know what to do with it, or you're quickly trying to get rid of it, you're an offensive liability, and it stops some natural transitions of the way the game is supposed to go when you have opportunities to get buckets yourself and facilitate to other guys. And so he's got to improve on that. And the question is, does he have it in him to do it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put my money on that being the case.
Well, Wade, the problem with it is, and we talked about this yesterday with JB, the problem is that I believe the West is changing. I believe that the Houston Rockets were built to overcome the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors. They're no longer the standard. That's not who you're shooting at. And so the West in particular has changed. And when you run up against these big bodies now, instead of these little cats running around shooting threes and trying to beat you from beyond the arc, I just think the game is changing. And with the game changing, I think you're going to need more from Clint Capela. In some way, shape, or form, you're going to need more from him. And that may not be but for 5 minutes at the end of the first half and 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. It may not be but in critical situations, but you're going to need more as I see this thing moving forward, the way that the league is shaking out, the way the West is changing. And I just don't know that you're going to get that. I mean, to me, it's one of those – it's tough to see where you're going to get that from. Nonetheless, Houston Rockets get a W, 121-105 over the Denver Nuggets. Good time to get a W.
Yeah,
mid-season basketball, good time to get a dub. You needed it. Wade, I don't know if you saw this, but another NBA story that I think is truly beautiful, man. I don't know that I got enough time to discuss this, to be completely honest with you. But Zion Williams debuted last night. And the Pelicans, they're 3.5 games out of the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a little slow start. I'm sitting at the Rockets game last night, and the guy behind me thinks, you know, he's Zion Williams starts. He's played 5 minutes into the game. He has 0 points. You know, kind of poking a little fun at Zion. Well, that 0 points didn't last long.
It switched real quick.
Coach, 17 points in the fourth quarter. My man was 4-for-4 from the three-point line. And this is in a game now. This is in a game where the shots mattered. It wasn't. He was bringing his team back.
Yeah.
The shots mattered to him and the team, and he helped get them back in the game, but load management got him, bro.
He had to go sit down.
Chief, I earned some mad respect for my man. 5:23 left in the fourth quarter, Wade Smith.
Yeah.
His coach calls him over and says, "We got to sit you, big fella."
Got to sit down, man.
18 minutes was his limit.
That was his limit. Yeah.
He goes out there, scores 17 in the fourth, is lighting this thing up. He's bringing his team back, and the coach says, with 5:23 left in the game, I got to sit you on the bench, young fella. This is about long term.
I tell you what, man, that is it's the right thing to do, but it goes everything against of what you think of as a competitor and as an athlete and somebody that's trying to go out there and win a ball game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything in you says, I'm playing at a high level. I'm helping the team get better. We're getting an opportunity to win this game. But the smart thing to do or the right thing to do, I'm putting in quotations, is to go have a seat. It goes everything about against your competitive nature to go out there and try to get a W.
Wade, this kid's a problem in this league.
Yeah, hitting threes was not something that you expected to get out of Zion Williams. Wade. That was not his deal. And for him, I guess all this time out, he's had an opportunity to work on that jumper.
Chief.
But if you add that to his game.
Jalen Rose.
Yeah.
He said it best. My man scored 22 points without a dunk. He said, I didn't think I'd ever say that about Zion Williamson in this league. I never thought that I would say that this kid would go a game, score 20-plus points without a dunk. He had 22 points, 17 in the fourth quarter, and did not have a dunk last night and was 4-for-4 from three-point line. You got any confidence my man's going to ball in this league?
I had plenty of confidence before that. And
right.
This is just confirming it. But that injury could be a blessing in disguise, man.
No doubt.
Because going into this season, everybody knows that Zion Williamson is the most athletic, dominant, explosive guy in the NBA for his size. Like, ridiculously powerful, can dunk on anybody and everybody. Jumping out the gym, but is that sustainable for a long time over your career? And for him to get the injury and have to sit out for such a long time, now he has to work on his jumper. Now he's working on how he lands when he jumps, all of those types of things, mid-range game. That could be a blessing in disguise to help his career and help him be a more well-rounded basketball player overall.
Wait, a couple of takeaways from that Pelicans game last night was, one, 22 points without a dunk. Did you know that he's the third heaviest player in the NBA?
I did not know that.
There's two players in the NBA. One of them, I can't remember the first one.
None of those 7'2" guys?
One of them was
like
a European player that was big. I can't remember who it was. The other one was Taco Fall, who's like damn near 8 feet tall.
That just lets you know the basketball players are lighting an ass.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, I mean, think about that. If Zion Williamson is the third heaviest player in the NBA, you got a lot of guys walking around lighting ass.
Third heaviest player in the NBA put up 22 without a dunk last night. The other thing, I don't know if you heard him after the game, but unbelievably articulate in his response about being pulled with 5:23 when he was hotter than a firecracker bringing his team back.
Yeah.
You know, I expect him to be choked up, be a 19-year-old kid, not really know what to say or how to say it. My man just said, talk about longevity. This is about longevity. It's not about being in the moment. Just to the point where I was listening to the guys on Get Up this morning, and they were going on. Jalen Rose, again, he's one of my favorite, by the way. He was going on like that's a 19-year-old kid.
He's a Duke guy, though. You got to give him credit for that. But, I mean, he went to Duke, man.
Can he claim he was there a year? Can we claim Duke for a year?
I've never heard a guy that went to Duke for however short a period of time come out and they're not articulate, smart.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Stanford guys, right?
Exactly. It's just a certain thing about those Duke guys.
Another quick stat. I walk into the arena last night, and I look up at the TV.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons. Let's look at the all-star, the potential all-stars this year. He is one of the all-stars. He's going to be on an all-star team this year.
Yeah.
He had not scored a point from outside the paint since December the 7th.
Damn.
And that was January the 21st or January the 20, yeah.
22nd.
Chief, 6-plus weeks, my man had not scored a point outside the paint, and he's an all-star.
How do you not work on that? How do you not fix that part of your game, bro?
I don't know, man.
That's what you do for a living.
Look here, I don't know, but I tell you what you can do. You can win some Nickelback tickets. How about that? Some Nickelback tickets. Caller number 5 right now, 832-430-2WIN. That caller will win a pair of tickets to see Nickelback on September the 4th at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. I've been there. It's a great, great place. So caller number 5 right now to 832-430-2WIN. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Nickelback on September the 4th at Cynthia Woods Pavilion. Tickets are available at livenation.com. Coming up next, me and JB broke down some defensive decisions that's got to be made. They've got to be made for the Houston Texans. And I got to let Wade weigh in on a couple of those decisions. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.